Pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of John. It would be hard not to do that. So recently, I was called in a parish that did not currently have a priest, and I was familiar with the people there. I was called in to be with someone who was dying, and it's somebody, they called me because it's somebody that they didn't have a priest, and it's somebody that I knew very well, and somebody I had known for many years, and this a very, very elderly person, and they had, they'd requested in their own way. They'd asked if I would come and see them, which I gladly did. So I went to see this person eventually, provided the last sacraments. But as I met with the family, very, very kind family, very nice, very, very solicitous. I don't think all that involved in the church, so just trying to do the right thing. And when I came in to see them, they expressed a concern that their mother had expressed her own concern that she was not very certain about heaven. And this was surprising to them and concerning to them, because this is somebody who was there every week at the Eucharist for like many decades. And so, again, it surprised them. And they were also, obviously concerned about the well-being of the person they loved. At this point, they would have doubts about heaven. I probably surprised them when I said I wasn't too sure about it myself. That is, not sure that there is a heaven, but not too sure about the details of it. And that's true enough. Actually, in the Bible, there is not, as I said to them, there aren't a lot of details. There's one of Jesus' parables which talks about it. There's the book of Revelation which talks about the fate of the martyrs under the altar. There's something from the book of Wisdom which talks about it, but there's not, it's surprising given how much we talk about the Bible really doesn't describe heaven very much. And, but it does talk about something else, which I wanted to share with him and share with her. And it is this. Well, first of all, in this reading, it says Jesus is deeply disturbed. So Jesus is having a lot of very intense emotions, right? By deeply disturbed, it means angry. Jesus is very angry about Lazarus' death. So, well, we can understand that, We go through a lot of different kind of unpredictable emotions when someone dies, as we all know. It's not like they're actually the stages of grief that Kubler-Ross came up with many years ago. We all know that's not true, that there's stages we go through. It's kind of like all stages all at once, all the time, changing every 5 minutes, right? It's a very unpredictable and immoderate thing, grief. And Jesus is angry at Lazarus' death. Despite being so angry, he waits, as you've heard. Very mysterious thing why he would wait. Despite being so angry about it, he waits, and then he comes, and he's still kind of angry. But when he does come, as you heard in today's reading, when Jesus does come to see his friends Mary and Martha and to come to the scene of Lazarus's tomb, he comes in hot. I was talking to my wife about that before we came in today. Do people know that expression, come in hot? It's like a race car driver's coming in to get the, what do you call that? Yeah, okay, great. And he's coming in hot, right? Well, Jesus is coming into this scene of Lazarus' death. This is not Jesus meek and mild, right? With the big doughy eyes. Jesus is coming in hot. He is angry and he is weeping with grief. You heard it today. And he seems to come, like I said, Notice what he doesn't say. Again, he's coming in angry. He's asking questions. He's weeping with grief. And when he's questioned by Mary and Martha, they say, well, you could have done something. You know, what's going on here? It's crazy. Like, we don't understand what you're doing. Notice what he doesn't say. And he doesn't say is, well, there's a reason for everything. You know, we say things like this, not out of ill will, just because we want to say something comforting. And we do our best. And nobody does it perfectly, right? We just do our best in that kind of, these painful situations. There's a reason for everything. And he doesn't say, well, it's all for the best. He doesn't say, well, you know, he's in heaven. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well, it's okay. Lazarus is in heaven. What does he say? Where have you put him? That's what he says. Where have you put him? And then, well, before we go into and then, we should remember that this is chapter 11. And I was just talking to the kids here. And chapter 11 comes after chapter 10 and what happened in chapter 10, right? Just talked about this. Chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I will not lose any of my sheep. And when my sheep hear my voice, they recognize me. Right? What does Jesus do when he goes to Lazarus's tomb? He says, Lazarus, come out. That is, Lazarus recognizes his voice. And Lazarus comes out. Because Jesus is the good shepherd who always comes to rescue his sheep. From wherever they are. Even from death itself. And a shepherd. So I don't think about this very often. Maybe you do when you're reading the Bible. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise to King David, right? We heard last week about Psalm 23, David's psalm of being a shepherd. So King David is what? A shepherd, right? What else is King David? He's a warrior. King David is a shepherd and a warrior, both at the same time. So the question is, and that's what we see with Jesus today. He is weeping and he is angry. He is weeping at the death of his friend, and he is angry that death should have swallowed his friend. He is a shepherd and he is a warrior. If you read the Old Testament, which I encourage everybody to do, one of the main things that you'll see is in the book of Exodus, after the Exodus, it says, the Lord is a mighty warrior. It's a theme that's repeated over and over again. He is a compassionate and mighty warrior who defeats the enemies of his people. The last of these, St. Paul says, being death. So why is it, back to the question of the details of heaven, no question that the Bible says there is heaven. That's not the question. And that God cares for us after death, and that we rest in him, as St. Paul says, why doesn't it give us more details? You know, why can't we say to people, well, it's going to be like this? The reason is, because it really doesn't need to. All we really need to know is this, about our own death and the death of those whom we love, and it's this, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me. He loves me. He recognizes me. And when he speaks my voice, I will hear it and I will recognize him. And I will be with him. and he will find me and rescue me and take me to himself, no matter where I am. How does Jesus describe heaven in the Gospel of John? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I come to prepare a place for you? And where I am, you will be there so that you can be with me. Whole point is so that you can be with me. So I have, not that we shouldn't imagine heaven, I have my own imagination of heaven. Looks a lot like rural Manitoba, I believe. So when the rest of you get there, you'll be very surprised to find yourself in rural Manitoba. I'm sure you'll love it, though. It'll be great. I picture golden fields of waving wheat. That okay with everybody? A nice lake. It's very green. Playing a lot of baseball. Is that okay? You want to play baseball? You okay with that? Oh, maybe you have your own version of it. Whatever. But whatever it is, whatever is most delightful to us, I'm sure that we can picture that as being what God has prepared for us. What's most delightful to us times a billion, right? But the heart of it is this. He knows us, he loves us, and he is our good shepherd. He is this love-frenzied warrior who will call us out of death to himself. So what I said to my friends, my family, this family, I said, I don't know a lot about the details, to tell you the truth, but what I do know is this, is that Jesus loves your mom. She has known that her entire life. And all you have to say to her is, Jesus knows you and he loves you. And he will take care of you. The details of heaven, nice, but not that important. He knows you and he loves you. And I left a little card, a little holy card. And on it is, it's from the Gospel of John. It's a picture of Jesus. And resting on his chest is his closest friend. And I said, this is kind of like what we should be thinking of. That we rest on Jesus who knows us. And he loves us. So, Jesus, this angry, grieving, loving, good shepherd who knows us each by name and whose voice we recognize. So when we share our faith with our friends, when I grew up, I don't know if evangelism was done this way when you were growing up, but when I grew up, it was kind of like, the question is, do you want to go to heaven or hell? Like, that's it, when you die. And so I'd like to offer you the opportunity to go to heaven, right? Which is fine. But maybe the real question is not when we're sharing the gospel with people, maybe in some cases, but maybe a lot of the time the real question is not when we're sharing the gospel, do you want to go to heaven? Maybe the real question is, do you want to know someone who loves you so fiercely that they will never let you go? Amen. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are a good shepherd. You knew us from the beginning. You know us each instant of our life. And you prepare a place for us where we can be with you and delight and rest in you and experience joy. Lord Jesus, we pray that everyone will come to know and desire this kind of closeness and intimacy with you and the joy that comes from it. We pray for those who are no longer with us, Lord. We know that they rest in you and experience the green pastures you prepared for them. Give us the wisdom and strength to share our faith with others, this delight and intimacy we have with you. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.